why are you the better solution? And think about it in terms of you not being the hero, the customer as the hero, and you're just offering a response to the problem.
This is Superfast Business with James Schramko.
James Schramko.
Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to Superfast Business. And today we're going to be talking about story. To do that, I brought in a story expert by the name of Eric Hinson from Explainify.com. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, James.
You actually reached out to me, Eric. That was somewhat bold, but I appreciated your straight upness.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never been really afraid to reach out to anybody. Just kind of a quick story. I reached out to Rand Fishkin of SEO Moz a few years ago, and he reached out to me, and you know, what he did was tweeted us and put us on Quora and really kind of just threw us on the map. We had that day that he tweeted, we had a good 200 or 300 leads for business. So I've just kind of like moved on with that mentality of let's just keep doing this and keep talking to people. And honestly, most times people reply. And I think a lot of people are afraid to email people, and I'm not. And I think it actually works.
Well, I think what you did is quite rare. Most people do something once that works well, and then they forget to do it again. So that's a great technique. It's one that I always look for when I'm coaching someone is what sort of profits have you been making? And what caused that? We're looking for the root cause. And if it turns out they were on a podcast, I asked them, so how many podcasts have you been on this week? And I like a direct approach. The fact is people who come on this show end up with lots of exposure. And I don't run this podcast purely for commercial gain off these podcasts. I'm interested in connecting with my market and continuing on this developing body of work, and we're over 500 episodes now, and we've covered everything from copywriting through to getting your DNA sample done. But I tell you what, story is a recurring theme. We've talked to Andre Chaperon about it, how to use it in emails. We've covered video marketing on YouTube with Tom Breeze. We've had numerous copywriting experts from John Carlton through to Kevin Rogers. But something that keeps coming up, and it was in the first paragraph of the email you sent to me, you said, listen, the world is filled with facts and pictures. The storytellers win hands down over them all. That's how you get more traffic to your site. That's how you convert more, and that's how you increase clarity. So I think it's worth talking about that on today's episode.
Yeah, it sounds great. I think you just told people my formula, so now they're all going to cold email you as well.
Look, they can cold email, but the thing is we have a filtering process. And just to save someone the effort, we have a look at their website and we see if they're a good fit for our audience, because to me, looking after my customer is the absolute priority. If someone's not a good fit for my audience, it doesn't matter what kind of bestseller book they've done or what their story is. And we actually get a lot of approaches every day. And most of them, I would say 7 out of 10, are some worn out hack entrepreneur who at one point went broke, then came good and has now published a book, and their PR agent is pushing us to get them on the show. And I never bring those people on the show because they're not good for my audience. In fact, they kind of cringeworthy. But what I do like and appreciate is someone who gets it and connects the dots and is a good fit. Now, the sorts of things that you talk about are the sorts of things that we talk about in our Superfast Business membership all the time, such as how to actually uncover your story. We even had a friend of mine, Clint Patterson, came to my last live event, which was a year ago now, and he shared his story of overcoming rheumatoid arthritis and building a community around that solution. And then he got so many people drawn into that story that he stepped out of the story and he broke down his story formula for them and listed it as a framework. And I've been using that framework in videos and emails since, and it was so powerful. So it's right at the core of what we talk about. But something that appealed to me is you mentioned you have a 5 keys to a simple brand story, and you have a book called Diamond in a Haystack, How to Uncover Your Brand Story, Rise Above the Noise, and Give Your Customers a Reason to Care. So I'd love if we could break through that five keys and figure out how we could create story if we're not really sure where to start.
Yeah, absolutely. So diamond in a haystack is sort of a mashup of diamond in a rough, which means good qualities are hidden, and a needle in a haystack, which means extremely hard to find. So you've all got good qualities hidden, but they're hard to find. And the reason for that is the curse of knowledge. What's really important is to keep your content and your story simple, as simple as possible, because human attention spans are actually 8 seconds, which is funny because it's 1 second less than a goldfish, which is just really surprising. But you've heard of curse of knowledge. Hopefully Chip and Dan Heath talked about it in their book Made to Stick. It's basically when you know things that the other person doesn't, and you've forgotten what it's like to have that knowledge. Businesses are really guilty of this, myself included, ourselves, my business included. We all like to include jargon, and we all like to be in the weeds. We're in our business every single day, learning the ins and outs, and you know, we manage the P&L and all these different things that we do, but there's so much jargon filled in that because we don't have that outsider perspective. We can't easily take a step back. I do this for a living, and I can't do it myself. I have to bring in consultants and friends and different things to help kind of simplify that story. So the first key in the book is to keep it short and simple, stupid, because you need to make it make sense to a young child, let's say a 10-year-old, and a grandma. If it can pass the test of what you say understood by a young child and a grandma, then you know it can reach any part of your audience. So you've got to keep it simple, and that's how you get people to hear the details that matter.
That is an excellent point. Gosh, I can totally relate, as I'm in this phase of writing a book right now, and I have an inventory of stories spanning my entire life, and especially my working life. It's been a couple of decades now, and the editor that I'm working with is really forcing these stories out of me. And just like one little chapter that I was working on the other day, I was able to talk for 45 minutes just covering a general overview of some of the roles that I had and some of the lessons that I learned doing those roles. I ended up with just under 10,000 words, and editing that just took hours and hours. And I feel like it is hard to find that, you know, the best bits of that, because there's so much content, and you're right, we're just getting absolutely bombarded. And I also really appreciate your point about how we get too familiar with this stuff and then it loses impact, because having been in this market at least for a decade, you know, people coming into it brand new get so overwhelmed and glazed over if you start using the terms that we use, like, you know, CSS or PHP or a cron job. And those things are just completely, you know, I think learning online marketing is like taking a new language. It's a foreign language. And that's why meetups are so popular, because you could actually go and have dinner with a group of people who aren't looking at you like you have three heads. And I found the best remedy for that is to take up a new sport and to take a beginner's mind and to go through that learning phase again to reconnect with what it's like to go through something for the first time. And then I've built a lot more empathy with my customer, because I can now relate and think, oh gosh, yeah, I'm empathizing. This in the same way that as a parent, when you have kids and you start changing nappies and feeding these little screaming monsters, you then appreciate what your parents must have gone through with you, because up until that time, you know, you were oblivious to it. So I've got step one here is keep it short and simple and write for a child or grandma. And I've heard that one many times from copywriters. They say that you should be writing your sales copy for a school audience, because if you don't, you're going to miss a good chunk of the population.
No, absolutely. And there's some interesting brain science out there too, is, you know, our brain burns calories, and complex facts and confusing ideas actually can shut your brain down. And so many people talk about their features rather than focusing on their benefits that they actually provide. You know, you need to ask yourself, how does this make my customer's life better? You know, so many people are saying, you go to a website and you see on the very front part of that homepage or landing page, whatever it be, you see look at me, look at our product, look at these features, look at this cool stuff, cloud connectivity and software integrations and agile task management and automation and SDKs and all these things. And it's great if you know that, but your customer may not know that, and you're stopping them and you're hurting their brain. And it's not going to be, it's not going to get to the area of the brain, which is called the Broca's area, that is, that looks and filters for things that are new, surprising and different, which helps you to retain it for the next day and for the long term. And so if you can't get past that area, you know, you're kind of dead in the water and just kind of spinning your wheels and wasting time. So how much more efficient could you be if you simplified those facts?
Gosh, that sounds like a great slogan for your business, Explainify. New, surprising, and different. Is that really why these explainer videos work so well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the explainer video has been around for a good 5 to 7 years now. And so the video itself isn't necessarily new, surprising, or different. It's the story in it. You know, the stories are, we've been telling them since the caveman days. And so you have to get a solid story. And that story and the empathy that you spoke about, if you can nail those things, if you can strike an emotion, whether it's happiness, joy, you know, sadness, crying, tears, make me mad, you strike an emotion, that's how you win in story.
Are we up to point number two yet?
Yeah. Sorry. I get so excited about simplifying stories.
No, this is good. I was just making sure, you know, maybe that was point two, but I'm with you so far. Everything you've said is extremely in line with the other things that we've heard about from sales copy. It makes sense that we're talking about something that sells, but in a video format. So
sure.
I've got, we get their attention, we use emotion, we have to keep it short and simple or we lose them. I remember someone was telling me, I think it was Andre Chaperon was telling me that, all these trailers on iTunes and Hollywood trailers, they've got to be extremely short or they lose their audience, like under 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, there's data by Wistia.com. They're a professional video hosting service. And after 90 seconds, they say 60% of your audience is already gone. So, I mean, it depends on what it's for. You know, if it's a how-to, you know, how to repair your iPad or something like that, you're going to be a lot more engaged in that content. But if it's a business video, especially, it's got to be under 90 seconds or else, you know, it's just not going to be effective.
Totally agree. If on the back catalog of my site, there's lots of short videos and I looked at those Wistia stats. We're huge fans of Wistia here. We've been using them for years. A big shout out to my buddy, Adam. And short, I've watched the heat maps. Everyone will stick around for a short video because it's like they, if you actually let them see the player control, they can see that it's only short. And these days, I think people are abusing, their customers' attentions with sloppy live videos, Facebook live videos, where they're boring or they're unplanned or they're extremely unprofessional. And those ones, I think, it's causing us to even be more picky with what we're going to watch. So how do you come straight out of the gate with an explainer video to show someone that's different than what else they could watch?
Well, that brings me to point two, because I know you want to get there. You know,
I will. Don't worry, I'm taking notes. I'll get there.
I'm not sure what your favorite, you know, story arc is. There's a lot of different methodologies out there, you know, from three acts to, 12 points. But we like to talk about, you know, the character has a problem that affects the good reality that he had before. He finds a guide, someone that's going to Sherpa him or take care of him and show him a plan. So plan's the fourth thing. And there's tools and things along the way. But in the end, there's a goal that they're trying to achieve. And so that's the story structure basically of any story, you know, Star Wars or Cinderella or any story you can think of. But we like to kind of take that and apply that to business. You know, you're instead of a character, it's your customer or your prospect. So your prospect or your customer has a problem and your company is the guide. And, you know, you hear this term hero's journey and people think, you know, oh, I'm the hero. I'm helping the customer. No, you're not the hero. You need to be the guide. You need to be the one solving their problem and showing them and casting a clear vision and a solution for your customers as to why you're going to be helpful. So it's really important to dig in, kind of know your mission, know your values, know why you exist, ask yourself some of those questions. And then, you know, it's kind of skipping ahead a little bit to the third point, but it's not about you. You know, so many people want to talk about themselves, but honestly, you're just not that interesting and I'm not that interesting. And the fact that you spent 2 years engineering or 4 months prototyping and you use this or that kind of technology, it's not that important, you know, but like I said, you go to a website and there's look at me, look at my products, look at these cool features. And your customer's asking, what's in it for me? How do you help? Why should I stay here? Why should I sign up for your trial? Why should I convert? Again, people buy with emotion and not logic. And we have to speak to those pains. There's a deep underlying felt need in there. And you have to go in and uncover that.
I love it. Okay, so we've hit the Joseph Campbell hero's journey fairly quickly. But huge distinction there. Huge. I don't think this is pointed out very often. Is be the guide, not the hero. I'm pretty sure most marketers feel they have to be the hero in the hero's journey. That's what I was talking about before, actually, that the schlocky park bench, bankrupt credit card maxed out thing. That they've placed themselves as the hero. That they, you know, they were doing fine with their business. They suddenly had a turn for the nasty, bad staff, or partner embezzled them, or there was a fire, or Google shut them down. They suddenly lost all their money, and then they're on the park bench with a maxed out credit card, and then they got some secret material through a direct response ad that they followed and then studied the plan. That's the guide. And then they had a few struggles and trials and tribulations, and they end up going well, and now they're happy to share this idea with you. It's a very well-worn story, especially from multi-speaker stage events. But gee, it's boring. It's like a little bit of vomit starts forming around my mouth when they start out with the bankrupt part. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, you start thinking of Tony Robbins and all those other guys. Yeah, definitely.
Not so much talking about Tony Robbins. There's a lot of Tony Robbins fans in our audience. So, you know, I'd respect it.
Oh, I love Tony Robbins myself. Yeah, I respect everything he's done.
I'm thinking more, there's some people actually fake cry and all that stuff when they're trying to be that hero. I know several people who they'll actually rub their calluses on their hands to trigger the old emotion of when their father used to beat them up so they can cry on stage. And there's another guy who gets around talking about car crashes every single time. Like, get over it, dude. It was decades ago. But so how do we get out of those predictable stories? You've just given us a great example. We become the guide. I really resonate with that because I don't know about you, I don't love getting my business advice from ex-bankrupts. I much prefer to have a guide who's, you know, a good Sherpa. I don't want the Sherpa that's already tumbled down the hill 10 times. I'd like the Sherpa that's made it up every single time.
Absolutely. I think a good way to do that, and one of my favorite ways, is to talk to your customers, you know, survey your customers. You can do that by picking up the phone, or you can do that by, you know, using, you know, Google Forms, or what are those other SurveyMonkey, those kinds of things, and ask very specific pointed questions, qualitative questions, not yes or no. You know, there's time and a place for questions like on a scale from 1 to 5, how satisfied were you with the service you received? There's a place for that, right? But we want to dig in and understand their experience. How did you find out about the company? If you were to refer a friend or colleague to my company, you know, or to buy from us or to whatever, what would you say? And so digging in and kind of learning about the experience and getting, just keep probing, why, just like a little kid. You have to keep asking, and then ask questions about the buying process. How did you find out about us? What alternatives were you considering? You know, what stood out to you about your company? The goal is to get clarity around the value you provide so you can tighten up that messaging and you know, use those things to say what your customers actually care about. So surveys is a really great way to do that. One of my favorite ways. There's lots of patterns you can find in there. Lots of thoughts and sentiments come up over and over again. And if you see patterns in all these responses, let's say you did 25 or 50 surveys, you start to see a pattern. You should start to use that language. It's not cheating. It's your customer's language, and it's going to resonate.
Yeah, we've done a lot of work on this, especially with the ASK method by Ryan Levesque, where we do a deep dive survey. It's the name he gives it. It's probing for the single biggest challenge, and then you score all the results. You weight them according to the length of the responses, and you take the top percentage of them, and then you categorize them into segments. And he's a regular guest on our show and been a student of mine as well. And it's just so powerful. I've seen what actually listening to your customer can do. One of my favorite questions revolves around what sort of concerns did you have before you purchased, and then what was your, you know, how did you feel about it after? And then I like to see that contrast, because that's pointing the spotlight pretty closely to the resistance, and I like to then overcome that in my copy and my messaging.
That's brilliant.
But I think it's wonderful that you're not just swinging from the trees with a huge ego, and like you were talking about before, where everyone's telling you, you know, what went into making their product. Maybe they've watched too many Schlitz's beer case studies. You know, they talk about the pure water from the mountains and that. It works for selling drinks, probably, but not everything translates into it. Especially sounds like you do quite a lot of stuff with software companies, and I can see how the guide would be a critical role in that type of environment.
Absolutely. And so many people, especially in software, they, you know, you have an engineer building it, and they're putting, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into it. So they're obviously going to talk about engineering focused things. They're going to talk about the APIs that are integrated and all these things, which are important. And there's a place for that, maybe further down the funnel when people are more interested, but especially at top of funnel, if someone's coming to you for the first time, I mean, even just you at a party, going to an event, you know, how do you talk about yourself? You got to simplify that and not speak to, you know, the engineering language, or else the person's going to walk away. You know, that's not how you get a girl. So that's not how you're going to get customers or colleagues or anything like that.
Well, we used to have an acronym when we were back in the automotive sales environment. It was called FAB, and it was features, advantages, benefits. If I found a salesperson product dumping, which is what we used to affectionately call feature-based selling, I would encourage them to extend onto that sentence. I would say, so what? Or I would say, and that's good because... And they'd have to fill the blank. And if they could fill the blank, then I'd say, well, that's the bit you really need to talk about. So they'd be really raving on about keyless go, keyless go. And the customer doesn't even know what that means. And it's just, you know, you keep the key in your pocket and you walk up to the car, you can just unlock the door unlocks automatically, and you can push a button to start the car instead of having to dredge through your pocket, pull the key out, stick it into the slot, turn the key. Now it's like the old days, you just push a start button. The car knows that you have the key on you somewhere via a Wi-Fi. So they can talk about the feature, but the reason it's good is you've now got this fantastic convenience of never having to fumble for your keys or scratch up your dashboard. It's just so much faster to get in and out of your car. Once you have this, you'll never go back to a regular key.
Absolutely.
Unless, of course, you take up something like surfing and you discover that they're virtually impossible to bury the key in the car for you to take the little metal part in the surf, and that it's a whole new world of challenge then.
Yeah, you have to find a whole new alternative for that.
That's right. It's a damn technology. So point number two was that was something around not being selfish.
That was really kind of to know thyself. You know, it kind of goes back to the old idiom, but basically understanding yourself, understanding that you're the guide and not the hero. That's basically the key behind that one.
Nice. What about key number three?
So three was, it's not about you.
Right.
It's about the emotional connection and the customer's pains. And so those two kind of blend together pretty well. And in the book, we kind of have a good transition as far as how that works. But it's about the customer's pains and kind of understanding the emotion, speaking to their problems and their goals rather than the tool itself.
Good. I like that. Transition sounds like trade talk. That means moving from one point to the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just did that in a chapter of my book. It's like the end of one chapter says, so what do you do in a recession? You'd get a job in debt collection, of course. And then it leads into the next chapter, which is me starting my debt collection job.
Yeah, I got really excited about the transitions that I built into the book. It's like the last paragraph is always it's funny when you can nail that and you feel creative. But yeah, absolutely. You caught me. I mean, I'm too in the weeds, and I use the language myself. If you're speaking and you're not, you know, looking at notes or anything, and you're not giving a presentation formally, then it's going to come out, you know, and that's why we like to kind of be the outsider and listen to all that we can from a customer, and then simplify it down to its core. So, you know, from Moving on, I guess, to point four, kind of is where I'm going, but that's build a bridge. So it's communicating in a way that connects your businesses to people's existing deeply held beliefs or an existing understanding. So if you picture the alphabet in front of you, you know, A, B, C, D, all the way to X, Y, Z, from left to right, you know, Z is your complete inside out understanding of your business, of a business. So your customers knows every single thing about you and what you do and why you're valuable, all of that. And A is where they have absolutely no clue why you do it, why they should care. So people come to your site at, you know, somewhere between A and let's say D or E. They don't know too much, and you have to get them further down that alphabet scale. So you're trying to get them to J or K or L so that they can sign up, so that they can take your action that you're asking them to take. And you can only do that by connecting them to their deeply held beliefs, so you can strike an emotional chord or something that they understand already. You know, if I said the Uber for lawn care, you know, if you know what Uber is, that kind of takes you a little bit further down that alphabet path, and you'll know what lawn care is. So you connect the two and you kind of move forward from A to J, and you just keep adding elements like that that people connect with and kind of build that bridge to get them to a bigger, better point of understanding.
So metaphors might be useful.
Absolutely. Metaphors. Uber for lawn care. That's a great metaphor. It's creating a quick picture so that you can make a comparison.
Love it. That's point four. What about key number five?
So five really is kind of a wrap up. It's tell your story in everything that you do. Your story can't be told in text alone. You know, 59% of executives would rather watch video than read text. So, what is it? Four times as many consumers would rather watch video than read a product about it. But that also, there's also stats for other things like email and PDFs and infographics and mailers and leave behinds and all this material that needs to kind of be put together. So, you know, prospects can understand your story and your product through an amass of different kinds of elements of media. We're just going to process, our brains process visuals so much faster than text. And so it's video, it's images, it's, you know, making sure that that story resonates and kind of encompasses everything that you do, from meeting someone at a bar to going to a coffee shop and talking to somebody to speaking at an event for Fortune 1000s to something that you hand out, making sure that story connects and is connectable through every single piece that you have once you figure out what your simple story is.
Right. So, you know, when we look at data for things like Google advertising campaigns, we see huge conversions that are called assisted conversions. So they've had multiple touch points in different places, such as social media, search, and display. They come together, and we can see the customer's been like eight different places, and then they've somehow bought. So wherever we are, whether it's a podcast, our website, a PDF download, a workbooklet at our event, all of these things should have a look and feel that matches our story. And so we wear our brand everywhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't just think about it from the homepage perspective. It definitely has to go everywhere.
Okay. So there's just a quick summary then. Let's make sure I got these keys right. Keep it short and simple. And so that means writing for a child or a grandma. Know thyself, because you have to be the guide. It's not about you, it's about your customers' pains. Build a bridge, help people move along it, use things like metaphors. And it's got to be everything you do. It's not just that one little media point. Is that about right?
Nailed it.
Okay, so wonder if we've got time for a little bonus round of other curiosity questions. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so we've talked about simplifying the message. We've talked about, obviously, you're from Explainify. What you guys do there, most seems like a lot of guys with beards from the about page. You, apart from growing amazing beards, you also do lots of explainer videos for, seems like, large companies. It says on the website, bring your big boy checkbook. So Fortune 100s and GE and Pfizer. So obviously you're in a high-end agency environment. Why do people get someone else to make their videos instead of making them in-house or slapping it together on one of those cartoon sites?
Well, you can't read the label from inside the bottle. Like I said, there's that curse of knowledge. You just know too much about yourself, and you need to take that outsider's perspective. You need to step out. And, you know, you can do that not by just hiring a video company like ours. You can hire a consultant or coaches or anything like that. You can certainly do it in-house, but it really could end up costing you a ton of time, and you could still have a clunky product that damages your brand. We often get people that chose a cheaper option and then have to come to us and sort of pay a premium on top of what they already paid to get someone else to do it to fix the problem that they have. And that's the same with, you know, any good creative service provider, whether it's websites or mobile app development or anything. It's going to be the same way. You kind of get what you pay for, and you're paying for years of experts training and someone that does it every single day. There's lots of brain science, lots of research, you know, years and you know, decades of experience in our team, rather than kind of doing it yourself.
And they know about transitions.
Absolutely. You know, I often see CEOs trying to do it themselves, which blows my mind, because, you know, you spend weeks trying to cut corners to save a few bucks. And in the end, you know, it just doesn't work out.
It blows my mind that some of my customers still try to build their own WordPress sites, like in 2017. Hello. it's like, stop it. Tell me also about, I mean, we've heard a lot of we've seen the data, and we know that everyone loves watching videos. I saw some ridiculous statistic, like the average American watches 6 hours of video a day or something like that. So I'm just pulling that number from the air. But I'm sure we can research and find that videos are just overtaking everything. I know that mobile's overtaken desktops for Google searches now. I know that ebooks sell more than physical books. Like, we're all going to our phones. Videos are great on our phones. You mentioned something to me at one point, which is that some businesses should steer clear of YouTube. Why is that?
Yeah, so that's a little misleading, because YouTube is a solid platform. And if you're going to do advertising and things like that, YouTube's going to be great. There's not a lot of competition there, and so it's a good place. But so many people think that YouTube is the strategy, and it's not. It's really the tactic. It's more the channel, I guess, that you're utilizing. And what is I can't remember the stat, like 7 billion or 70 billion, some huge number of videos are uploaded every single day, right? And the problem is you're one in that mix. You're not even one in a million. You're like one in billions. So, you know, how is your video going to resonate and stick with people? And it just doesn't make that much sense to me. So what I would recommend is that you use a platform like Wistia or something like that to embed the video on your site, you know, use the SEO keywords and all those pieces to kind of get some of that traffic. I'm not against YouTube. You can put it on YouTube. I think that's good. But most of the time for business, especially B2B, especially software, you know, people are looking for those quick facts. They're not necessarily, you know, looking for like an auto parts store to explain, you know, here's how to change the radiator. The how-tos, the educational, and then the really ridiculously funny comedy stuff like Squatty Potty and that kind of thing, those belong on YouTube. People are going there to be entertained. And your business is not necessarily always trying to entertain. Sometimes you do, but you're not always after a viral hit. You know, it's much more effective to get customers from your video rather than getting millions of views from your video. And you're not really guaranteed millions of views on YouTube. It's really hard to do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. You know, can you guarantee a viral video?
I don't think you can. And I think those agencies that kind of sell that aren't really, they're not, I don't know what it is exactly, but they're using influencers, or they're using a huge paid promotional strategy to get that seeded content out there, you know, early and kind of drive that future organic growth. But from the beginning, no, it's unless you use a partner like that has the traction already with influencers, then maybe it's possible, but it's not that easy.
Yeah, that's what I suspected you might say. We've covered YouTube marketing from two different angles before. We've got Brian G. Johnson talking about how to develop a YouTube channel. And I think that's what you're talking about there. If you've decided you're going to be a YouTube market or YouTube celebrity, or that if that is your actual strategy, then that's that podcast series would be helpful. If you want to just advertise on YouTube, then our Tom Breeze session, like series of podcasts, has been extremely helpful. And I think the thing that I've observed with Tom Breeze, because I work with him very closely, is his customers have got their other platforms dialed in. They're already maxed out on Facebook. They've already got their landing pages and their emails working great. YouTube is just another place where they can go and buy fantastic traffic and convert at ridiculous rates by sticking their videos inside other people's videos as ads. I'd be interested in some kind of validation or case study. Can you tell me how can you measure the success of the videos that some of your customers are making? Have you got a before and after, or some interesting results that you got that might be, you know, inform a listener, you know, the potential value of having a professional explainer video done?
Sure. I mean, a lot of our videos are PR oriented, so it's a lot harder to quantify those success metrics, but there's a lot of software companies, you know, see an average of 20% increase in conversions. See, one comes to mind is Case Complete. They're a B2B software kind of specializing in capturing software requirements. So it's a kind of very niche audience, and most people may not understand what that means, but they've worked with Blue Cross and Aflac and Walgreens, and they've had thousands of, you know, unique monthly visitors, tons of traffic coming to their site. They've optimized, you know, everything they can, like you said, with Tom Breeze and his customers. And they were thinking, hey, you know, I've heard about video and we need to try this. It might give us a competitive edge. Well, they were hoping to get a 5% increase, and we actually got them up to a 23% increase on top of funnel homepage signups to try out the product. And that's turned into, you know, tons and tons of customers. And then lots of PR oriented stuff, like with GE. They had a really interesting approach. They had a press conference coming up in 3 weeks, and they signed a deal to bring 2.5 million homes electricity throughout Egypt. So the whole country of Egypt was the story, the concept behind this video. And we had to write copy and animate a video for another culture, which is a pretty delicate process. So we kind of became students of Egypt's cultural sensitivities and traditions and etiquette. And, you know, we made this video in 3 weeks for this press conference that, you know, the leadership, the president, everybody in Egypt, like, saw this video at this huge press conference when they were making this announcement. And, you know, it's, how do you quantify that? I don't even know how they quantified it. They didn't have any, they just said that was incredible. It worked out really well. It was very sensitive. You know, there's the PR side of things that there's not a good way to quantify that. And same with like Panasonic. We did, they have a really cool technology that transforms visible light into an experience. And that's a really new thing. Like, you know what QR codes are. You know, you see a marker, you have your phone, you put your phone over the QR code. But when I say transforms visible light, what the heck does that mean? Well, so this is a new concept that they had to explain. And they came to us and they said, we don't know how to tell this story. We don't know how to make this make sense. And what it is imagine you're in a museum, and you go up to a Rembrandt, and what it is there's lights above the painting that are pulsating like a digital code onto the painting. And you pull your iPhone out, you put the camera up to it instead of a QR code. Anywhere in that light range, that camera, in a matter of milliseconds, it pulls up more data and creates this sort of virtual reality world that explains, you know, different kind of tours and different things that you can do and learn more about that Rembrandt painting.
So I'm thinking it's like Pokemon Go, where it's adding an animal into a scene.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's based on light.
Or a prism, when you get white light on it, can spread it into a rainbow.
Absolutely. And so we had to kind of think of metaphors and different things, different ways to say that. And, you know, video is just a really great medium to explain that kind of stuff, because it's new, it's foreign. And with animation, especially, you can create any kind of world you want and tell any kind of story you want through that.
Is there some of these videos we can embed on our post at superfastbusiness.com?
Yeah, happy to give you those.
So we're going to put a post up called Explain Your Story, and we'll put some videos in that post. And so if you're interested to go and have a look at some of these, we'll collect them there. And we'll also put your details, Eric, so that people can get in touch with you. You mentioned something about you've got a couple of chapters of your book that people can grab.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to give away 2 free chapters to your audience, kind of help you walk through with some specific questions to take you down this journey to uncover your own brand story, your diamond in a haystack, if you will. It's just go to explainify.com/superfastbusiness, all one word, explainify.com/superfastbusiness, and you can pick that up for free.
Great.
Also, I need to tell you, once the book comes out, I'll shoot over a promo code and you can get the book for hella cheap.
That's very kind. I'm looking forward to that. I already tried to buy it as soon as I found out about it because I was I'm a student of these types of materials. So when just this is a completely side question. As an agency, because a lot of our customers are agencies, whether they're doing pay-per-click advertising or YouTube or Facebook, do you meet your customers face-to-face or do you run virtually?
We do both. You know, I think in this day and age, it works well that way. I mean, if you're in Australia, it doesn't make a ton of sense for us to do, you know, our typical process is 8 to 10 weeks. It doesn't really make a ton of sense for us to be in the same room when we can connect via Skype or, you know, Uber conference or whatever it is. We can connect and we can get all the data and we can have as many meetings as we need. But if you're here in the States, then it's pretty easy for us to hop on over and meet in person. And it does give you a better experience. It helps us to really spend more time and dig in with the customer and be able to ask follow-up questions quickly rather than, you know, taking a little more time if you're international or something like that. But we do both.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Eric, we usually finish off with the one best piece of summary advice. If you've listened to this entire podcast, you've stuck with it for the last 40-something minutes, what would you say is the first action step for someone listening to this who's got this sort of idea? Okay, I've got some. I want to tell my story. I want to, you know, start the process. Even if they're going to brief an agency, they're going to have to start thinking about it. What's the first action step?
I think it comes back to understanding the story structure. Your customer has a problem, and you're the guy that's helping your customer solve that problem. You have tools that help them achieve their goals, but you need to think about yourself as the guide and not the hero. So kind of write down sort of your answers to those specifics and start to understand how can you help.
Yeah, I love it. That's the biggest note on my pad here. It's be the guide, not the hero. I think that is the diamond that I've pulled from this episode that I've never heard talked about before. I think everyone in my market is trying to be the hero, and they don't have to be the hero. It just makes so much sense to be the guide. Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that the biggest takeaway is to realize that you're not the hero in the hero's journey. You are the guide. You're there to cast a clear vision and a solution for your customers to solve that problem that they're having. So think about really what is the problem that you're solving? What are the struggles and pain points your target audience faces, your customer faces? What's the status quo for solving that problem? And why are you the better solution? And think about it in terms of you not being the hero, the customer as the hero, and you're just offering a response to the problem.
Love it. Thank you, Eric Hinson, CEO, explainify.com. It's been a pleasure chatting with you about stories and videos and marketing in general and transitions. And I love it. Be the guide, not the hero. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, James.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.